Hey man, it's November. Man, Thanksgiving's coming. We're headed that way. And this is the second in this incredible series where we're talking about meeting Jesus face to face. And this message today, I'm going to talk about when Jesus says thank you, when you stand before his throne. You know what? This is a whole new series. I've talked about this before. I've talked about when Jesus says thank you. But this is a whole new series about meeting Jesus face to face. And last week in these next three messages, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to fill your heart with positive anticipation. They're going to just have you looking so forward to the return of the Lord that your heart's going to begin to cry out, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready for you to come. I'm ready to meet you. I'm ready to get my rewards, and I'm ready for this wicked world to come to an end and be rule and reign in righteousness. Listen, get your pen, get your paper, call somebody. This is going to be a powerful message today. I'll never forget when I first got saved. Started going to a great little church, a little denominational church. And I'm telling you, I know I say this every time I mention this little church. I am so thankful for my first pastor, my first church. I'm so thankful. Even though they didn't know a whole lot about really some of the greater aspects of what we have in the gospel, I tell you what, they helped me get established in the fundamentals of the gospel. Now, there were some goofy things, you know, that came out. And I'll never forget when I first started going to church, right? You know, I'd gotten saved. I'd read the New Testament through at least once, maybe a couple times. And I said, okay, I'm ready to go to church now, because I wasn't going to go to church and let somebody else tell me what the Bible said. I'd let somebody teach me about what it meant and help me understand it. But I wanted to read it for myself. And I'm thankful that I did, because I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard people quote scriptures from the pulpit that are not really in the Bible. And so I'm really, really thankful that it started out that way. But I'll never forget one of the first times I went to church, or within the first few months. I'm sitting in church, and they're reading one of the parables where it talks about, you know, about anything said in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops, and some of these kind of concepts. And I'll never forget the pastor saying, listen, we're all going to stand before Jesus one day. And when we stand before Jesus, there's going to be a videotape played of our whole life. And we're going to have to give an account of our whole life. And I don't remember if I said it to the person sitting next to me or if I just thought it. But I remember thinking, I didn't know they were going to show porn in heaven. And because I'm thinking, man, if they show my life in heaven, people might backslide from heaven, because nobody wants to see that stuff. Nobody wants to look at that. I don't want to look at that again. I thought, man, this is horrible. But I tell you, for years, I heard people take some teachings that Jesus had in the parables totally out of context and try to apply them to the end time. And I'm telling you something, we need to be the kind of people that, you know, that we're living life to the fullest. We're loving the life that we have in Jesus. But you know what? We need to be the kind of people that also are ready to cross over, that we have a more value for what we have eternally than for what we have in this present life. And the people, you know, the Bible says that one of the ways people will endure the times that seem to be coming on the earth right now is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their life unto the death. Well, you know, most people can kind of get this thing down about the blood of the Lamb, and some people get this thing down about the word of their testimony, but I'm telling you, you don't meet many people that love not their life unto the death. Well, I believe that if we really, really, really have a grasp of what we're going to encounter when we cross over, and by that I mean to die. I don't like to use the word die, because the truth is we already died. The day we invited Jesus into our life, we accepted the death of everything we were, everything we could be outside of Him. We died to self. We died to our old man. We died to life outside of Christ. And we entered into the resurrection. We were raised up with Him in newness of life. And Jesus said that at that time, the person that believes passes from death, or from condemnation, unto life. So really, we've already died. We're just going to cross over. Well, when we cross over, I got news for you. Nobody's going to be looking to going and meeting Jesus whenever, if we're going to think we're going to stand there, and every single thing that we have ever been ashamed of is going to be paraded out before everybody in heaven. I mean, can you imagine that? you know, standing there in heaven, and everybody is going to see everything you did wrong and everything that you left behind. Well, I got great news for you. There's not one word of that is actually scriptural. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to live a responsible life. And you know, we all need to be living our lives in as responsible of a way as we possibly can. Jesus taught, there was one subject that Jesus taught more about than any other subject. He taught more about this one subject than heaven, than hell, than faith, than the Holy Spirit, than any other thing that I know of. And some people say that what he taught about was money. Well, no, he didn't really teach about money more than anything else. He used money as an example, but he wasn't teaching about money. What Jesus taught about more than anything else was stewardship. And stewardship is really about how we manage our life, time, and resources for the kingdom of God. So I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you to be a great steward of your life. And you know, how you manage your life and whether or not you walk in love and whether or not you walk with God determines so many things about the quality of your life. It determines how your prayers get answered, not because God changes, you know, when you change, but because your heart will condemn you if you don't walk in love. And, you know, we've all got a divine destiny. We've all got a divine purpose. And you don't even have to know what your divine purpose is. I remember, you know, my brother got saved, and my brother was one of those guys that when he got saved, it was so incredibly dramatic. Now, I'm not saying that he lived a perfect life after he got saved, but I'm telling you, there was such an incredible change in his life that it was just really phenomenal. Well, what was interesting, my brother and I would have this conversation many times about the fact that I had a sense of what my destiny was, and I knew what to do. And he would just tell me, and it was so frustrating for him. He said, I don't know what my life's purpose is. I don't know what to do with my life. Well, here's the deal. You don't really have to know what your destiny is. You don't have to know what your purpose is. But what you want to do is you want to live your life like a steward. You want to realize that your life is not your own. It was bought with a price, and it was paid for by the blood of Jesus. And that if you walk in love, and you stay submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, the truth is you will end up living and discovering your destiny as you go. You don't have to know it in advance and then pursue it. So, you know, you want to live a life that you can be proud of. You want to live a life where you don't have a guilty conscience. The Apostle Paul said, you know, one of the goals of everything I've taught you is love from a pure heart and a clear conscience. I tell you, you can't say enough about the value of having a clear conscience. And so, you know, we want to stand before the Lord Jesus, and we want to hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But sometimes there's been so much teaching, so much wrong teaching about what's going to happen when we stand there that people don't look forward to standing in the presence of God. They have fear. They have dread. And I tell you, there's been so many people that I've helped cross over that dread facing Jesus. They look forward to heaven, but they dread facing Jesus because of the failures in their life. And their whole life, they've been taught that they're going to stand before Jesus and have to give an account of every single thing they've ever done. Romans 14:11 says this, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." Now we take this scripture about every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and some people say, well, see, everybody's going to get saved. That's not what that scripture is talking about. It's talking about you. Every person will have to bow their knee to him and give an account for what we did with our lives, how we spent our lives. And I want to tell you something. It's incredibly important how you spend your life, because how you spend this life is an investment in eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 10 starts telling us some things that help us to have insight into going to meet the Lord face to face. It says, "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Now, that's one of the things that's really important there. I want you to know that when you cross over, the only thing that dies is this body. And the reason the body dies is because when you separate, according to the Bible, when you separate the spirit from the body dies. And your spirit doesn't die. Your spirit doesn't go to sleep. Your spirit doesn't take a dirt nap. Your spirit doesn't lose consciousness. Your spirit does not remain in your body in that coffin or that tomb or that urn if you're cremated. Your spirit leaves your body, and according to the teaching of the Apostle Paul, you go immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, it wasn't this way in the Old Testament, I want you to realize. Until Jesus was raised from the dead, captivity couldn't be led captive. In other words, those who had already died, they went to abide in what the Bible calls the bosom of Abraham, but they didn't go to be in the presence of the Lord. So we leave here, we go to be with the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. In verse 9, he says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in our body or away from it. Now verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now it's really, really important that you realize this is not the white throne judgment. Now, there are two ways that people's works are going to be judged. And I'm going to explain to you today what happens at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to explain to you what happens at the white throne judgment. And these are two different judgment seats. And unfortunately, many times it seems that preachers combine them together as if they are one event. And the white throne judgment, which occurs after Jesus comes back, and there is the wedding banquet where all believers receive a resurrected body and meet with the Lord Jesus. And then there's 1,000 years that goes by where Jesus rules and reigns on earth. And by the way, for him to rule and reign on earth, that means that when he comes back, there's still going to be people here on earth. There's still going to be faith. There's still going to be people doing business. Everything about earth doesn't end immediately when Jesus comes back, as we have been told. He's going to come back and he's going to rule in righteousness for 1,000 years so that all the people living on earth that did not give themselves over to follow the Antichrist, all of them have the opportunity to know the Lord. And 1,000 years later, there's going to be the final gathering together of evil and the final battle before heaven comes down to earth. Now, at that 1,000-year point in time, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And at that point in time, there's going to be the great white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is where people who would not accept righteousness as a free gift from God will stand before God, and based on their works, they will be judged. And the Bible says that blessed are they who take part in the first resurrection. You don't want to be in the second resurrection, standing there trying to weigh your good against your bad to figure out what kind of person you were, because by the works of your flesh or the works of the law, nobody is going to be justified in the sight of the Lord, because nobody is perfect. And the only people who are perfect are those who have been given perfection as a gift. So there's the white throne judgment. And like I say, the white throne judgment is for those people who didn't accept Jesus as their righteousness. But the judgment seat of Christ is the place where the quality of our eternal existence is determined. And I want to tell you something. This is so frightening based on what we have been taught. Because you see, this is the place where all lies and all deceit stops. And this is the place where everything that is unacceptable in our life really, really comes to an end. And we get to stand before God and with the things that are valuable and the things that are precious, and we get to discover what eternal life is going to be like based on how we've invested into the kingdom. I'm going to tell you something. These parables about the kingdom, there's people that think that God's a socialist. I got news for you. God is not a socialist, because there are rewards. And there are people that try to diminish the concept of being rewards because they think it's works or they think it's legalism. Like it or not, Jesus taught about rewards, and there's going to be rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, And it's talking about when we stand before Jesus. It says, if any man builds on this foundation, and Paul was talking about his foundation of the gospel, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. You notice it didn't say that the fire is going to test each man. The fire is simply going to test the quality of whatever works we do. I want to tell you, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to stand in the presence of God who have built monumental ministries, who had great names. Everybody knew their names. But, you know, the truth is they did it because they were insecure, because they wanted a big ministry. And I'm not judging anybody or saying who's doing it, but I want you to understand that you can't minimize yourself because you look at somebody who's got a big church or a big ministry or a big name or a great reputation, and you look at them and think, man, I'm telling you, they're the spiritual ones. They're the great ones before God. Well, let me tell you, nobody knows their heart except them. Nobody knows what's really motivating them, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes people get so caught up in their own self-deceit and their own meeting their own needs that they really forget that ministry is about being servants, that it's about helping other people, it's about being a blessing, it's about walking in love, it's about making other people experience the love of God through you. And so the quality of every person's work that he did in the name of the Lord is going to be tested. In other words, everything's going to be tested. What you did for yourself is going to be tested. What you did in the name of the Lord is going to be tested. Everything is going to be tested, and it's going to be tested by fire. Now, verse 14 says this. It says, if what he built survives, he will receive his reward. So it's almost like you go, before you go to the presence of Jesus, that everything about your life, it's almost like you're in an airport. You know how when you go to an airport, you go in and you get one of those little trays and you take off your shoes and you put the shoe in the tray and you take off your belt and you put your belt in the tray. You take off your backpack, you put your backpack down, you get your computer out, put your back computer in a tray. And if you got a coat on, you take off your coat and you put it in another tray, and all that goes through an X-ray machine, and it's scrutinized to determine, you know, what it is, what it really is. If there's a bomb in there, if there's something unsafe to take onto a plane, it's almost like we're gonna remove from ourselves everything that we have ever done, good or bad, and we're gonna put it on a conveyor belt. And it's going to pass through the fire. And you know, the Bible tells us that everything is tested by fire. It's going to pass through the fire. And it says, whatever survives the fire is going to be what produces the reward that person receives. Now, I got a lot to say about this, and I got a lot to say about standing in the presence of Jesus over these next 4 weeks, and you really want to hear every single part of it. So, but hang on, because we're getting to something that I think is incredible. Verse 15 says, "If it is burned up, in other words, if whatever you put, if you were to put everything about your life on there, and everything is burned up, it says he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." Man, now this is so important for you to realize this. You are never going to stand in the presence of God and have this big eternal review and this big discussion with God about everything you did wrong. You're not going to stand there and face condemnation. You're not going to stand there and face scrutiny and have to go back and explain and answer questions. And I got news for you. There certainly is not going to be a video played in heaven to show everybody in heaven every single thing that you've ever done, good and bad, right or wrong. I'm just telling you something. That is so far removed from the character of Jesus and so far removed from the promises of God, so alien to the good news of the gospel. Because everything that I've done that is not gold, silver, or precious stone. In other words, if it's wood, if it's hay, if it's stubble. In other words, if it's something that was not done out of love and a pure heart to benefit other people and benefit the kingdom of God. Anything that's unacceptable to God, when it goes through the fire, it is all burned. That means that there's not going to be one thing when you stand before Jesus for which he will condemn you. There's not going to be one fault that he is going to point out. There's not going to be one failure that he's going to examine. There's not going to be one questionable situation that you're going to have to explain, because everything that is not gold, silver, or precious stone is going to be burned through the fire, so that the only thing that you have left when you stand before Jesus is the things for which you will receive a reward. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible warns about not letting other people cheat you out of your reward. One of the ways you get cheated out of rewards is when you do something and you let everybody know so you can get credit for it here and now. You've already gotten your reward. There's not an eternal reward for you. And then there are people that would cheat you out of your rewards just by saying, you know, you're in Jesus, and because you're in Jesus, you just get the same reward as everybody else. No, I'll tell you something. That person is cheating you out of your reward. We will receive rewards, and we're going to talk some more about that. But the main thing that I want you to focus in on this week is that you will never, ever, ever stand before Jesus and have to face anything that's going to bring you shame, condemnation, guilt, or make you have to justify yourself in the presence of the Lord. And even if you did nothing but believe on Jesus, you still are a faithful servant in that area of your life because you did believe on him. You were willing to believe on him for your righteousness. Folks, I want to tell you something. God is so good, and religion has made him seem so bad. God is so consistent and so predictable. Religion has made him seem so unpredictable and so inconsistent. God is only looking to do good things in your life. And the more we are yielded to, involved with, and submitted to his rule and reign in our life, the better it gets. And I want to tell you something. No matter how good life is for you right here and now, you cannot determine the quality of life that God has for you based on what you've experienced so far. It's just a peek. It's just a sample. It's just a taste. And so much of what we experience now is just dependent on us. Whereas when we enter into eternity, when we cross over and we meet with him, everything about how good eternity is going to be is going to be based on everything about him. God's better than you ever imagined. Be sure and stick around. I want to share something really important with you in our mentoring moment that's going to help prepare you for standing before the Lord and receiving an incredible reward. You know, everybody's really serious about standing before God, making their life count. Always ask, well, how do I know? Well, I call this turning wood into gold. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." I want to tell you something. One of the first steps that you can do, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you're doing it for, even if you're working at your job, you can make up your mind that the way you do this, you're going to do it unto the Lord. You want this to reflect God's quality, God's character. Just making that decision will automatically change the quality of what you're doing. It'll cause you to experience the grace of God in what you're doing, so you'll be empowered to do a better job. But it also ensures that you're turning something that could have just been passing time into something that becomes gold and something that becomes kingdom of value. Let me finish reading this. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let me tell you something. some of the concepts we have about the idea that there are not going to be any rewards and that somehow or another Jesus is going to make everybody equal in heaven. We will be equal, but as far as rewards, which I don't really understand the concept of what these eternal rewards will be made of, but I know this, the Bible says that when you do things as unto the Lord, you need to also do it knowing that that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We all share in the inheritance that Jesus has, but there are aspects of what we're going to participate in eternally based on what we did with our lives and why we did it. Everything that you're doing, no matter what it is, do it as unto the Lord. And you know, when you do that consciously, there's a lot of things you'll say, I can't do what I'm about to do as unto the Lord. Well, you know what? That gets you to put the brakes on and say, this is not something I want to do. This is not something I want to be involved in. But when you do anything unto the Lord, you're going to receive the reward from Him.